Okay. First thing. Let's start with books that you should have in your home for Hilchos Nidos. So if you have a Shaila, you can always look them up. Okay. Number one, there's something Artsko put out, a Hilchos Nidos book, Rabbi Forst, F-O-R-S-T. He's pretty thorough. So he has lots of the weird cases come up. He tends to have them. Okay, so it's an important book to have in your home. Rabbi Sobolovsky from YU recently put out a book on Hilchos Nidos. Both of those are in English. In Hebrew, Rabbi Kanuol from Kfar Etzion put out a book. I think it's called Ish V'Isha. But more important than that book is the little pamphlet that you have to read at least twice before your wedding. Okay? Then there's other books that you can consider having. There's Mari Cohen, that's a Hebrew book. There's Rav Ovadia is a Hilchos Nidos, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu is a Hilchos Nidos. In English, Rav, give me a second, Rav Eidner. Rav Eider has. That's called Halachos Nidos, published by Feldheim. Okay, that's about halachos. There's also hashkafos of marriage. Okay, here you have to be very careful, because no two marriages are alike. But in addition, a lot of these books have different goals and aims, and some could be matim for you, and some cannot be. For example, when I was getting married, I went to the store, and every book that had the word marriage in the title, I bought. So I've been through a lot of these. So for example, there's a book entitled Marriage. I think it's put out by Arutz Gold, but it's by Rabbi Zelig Pliskin. Now, he should live and be well, and his sefer should do well, and he should have a huge parnas, and everything should be wonderful, and there are lots of people, I'm sure, who would benefit from this book, and they should read it and enjoy it. For me, and for my wife, who also read it, or started reading it, the book, to us, basically went like this. Reuven and Sarah were married for 20 years. They came to my marriage counseling. For 20 years, neither of them ever said, I love you, to each other. And so I explained to them that they should have been saying, I love you, and I guess now they'll live happily ever after. And Shlomo and Yocheved came, and he was constantly hitting her, or he was constantly saying mean things to her. And so I explained that he shouldn't do that, and so now they're in therapy, and maybe it'll work out. So there's all these terrible stories, page after page. So for me, it didn't talk to me, but I'm sure there are people who it helps, because it's a very popular book. So to each his own. I just be aware that there's different marriage books out there. Some of the ones that people do recommend, and I've read, there's by Rabbi Feldman from Ner Yisrael, has a book that's called something like, I always forget its name, but the kettle and the bird, and there's one more thing. It's not The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Don't confuse it. There's just like three Mishalim that Chazal used for marriages, and it's a wonderful book. It's also in English. Rabbi Norman Lamb has a book called Hedge of Roses. I recommend both of those. Depends how into Breslov philosophy you are, but Rav Arush has a book, I think, called like Garden of Peace or something like that. He has one for men and one for women, and he says men can't read the one for women, women can't read the one for men. And in it, it's very, there's some ideas that I really took to and some that I didn't. For example, he talks about never ever criticizing your spouse when they do something you don't like. He says just view it as a kapara for yourself, and just work harder and put in more effort into your relationship, lefum tsar agra, etc. So there's something there. But then he talks about if you're really having trouble, to do his bodudus and all sorts of Breslov things that, you know, just from my not so Breslov or Hasidish background, or I don't know what you want to call it, I haven't been so into his bodudus in my life, so therefore I didn't find that part as matim for me. But it's certainly an option among many other books that you can read on marriage, as well as non-Jewish books on marriage, like men are from Mars, women are from Venus, or I think that's what it's called, where people talk about relationships. So some of those things are important to realize. So we'll discuss a little bit in the rest of the chassan classes some of the things, but most of the chassan classes are going to focus on the chonida. Okay. Also, there's halachic guides on... Baruch Hashem, I grew up rather sheltered, so I needed these. But some people tell me they do need them or don't need them, so you don't have to say. Just, you know, there's a halachic guide to what to actually do in the bedroom, meaning that explain the whole process of how to have relations, and they're explained from Yarei Shemayim, God-fearing Jews, who write it in a clean way, non-vulgar way, exactly what to do, and there's appropriate diagrams if you need. So I have some of those. You can ask me afterwards. I have some names of those. I can recommend them if you need them. If not, we'll move on. Okay, that's in terms of books. Okay, we moved on from books. The next thing, the wedding coming up. The first thing I always do when I talk to chassanim is one of the topics we're going to discuss, which is a very scary topic for chassanim, is something called a chupat nida, which is if your wife happens to be nida on the day of your wedding, and it creates all sorts of complications. So, Baruch Honein L'Adam Das, Hashem gave man wisdom. Among that wisdom that man gave, that God gave man, is now we can regulate these things with pills and medicine. So a very, very important thing before the wedding, a month or two or 3 months before, I don't know how far the wedding is, you have to make sure that your kala goes to a gynecologist to make sure it saves you a lot of hassle, a lot of headache, a lot of heartache, a lot of agnus nefesh and tears and embarrassment or whatever else it may be. It saves all that. So Baruch Honein L'Adam Das, we can take it. So the first thing is make sure she goes, and that's Mesudar. Okay? I did recently attend a class, the Moatza Tatit of Gush Etzion. I'm trained as a chassan teacher through them, so they had a class. They brought a birth control expert, and she warned us that she said when we speak to chassanim and we tell them that, and make sure that, you know, she's not a halachist. So I'm not going to get into the halacha right now about whether you can continue to take birth control after your marriage. That's a different discussion you should have with your Rebbe, and you can figure that out. If you do indeed just take some birth control at some point in your marriage, that has to be separate from what you're doing, what she's doing now, in order to not have a chupah nida. In other words, this lady was explaining to us, this expert, that it could be that they're going to give you a specific medicine, and it could be stronger with side effects, etc., but they're expecting that you're only taking it for 1 month or 2 months. And they would never give a person that medicine to take it for 2 years or 3 years or 3 months or 6 months after the wedding, etc. So therefore, if that is something that is being planned, so then make sure to tell the gynecologist that. Don't just, whatever she gives you for 1 month, then take for another 3, 4, 5 months. Because many of them will just refill prescriptions without asking, or other doctors will renew that gynecologist prescription without. It's very, very important. Okay, that's not, I guess, in terms of Vinishmarta and Vahavta, it's a halacha, but it's less hilchos nida, just very practical, important advice that we need to know. Okay. Let's start with hilchos nida. In order nidoraita, to become a nida, there are a few criteria that we need. Zmanazeh, we become nida with much less, based on the Rabbanans and based on all sorts of sfeikot that we just treat. So halacha l'maisa, there's negligible, if at all, difference between nida d'oraita and nida d'rabbanan b'zmanazeh. Maybe we'll throw it in as a tzad l'hakel in a real shas l'chak case. In general, we don't say, it's only nida d'rabbanan. No, it's nida. But just understand how these things work, so we're going to discuss it. In order to have nida d'oraita, you need to have a hargasha. The woman needs to feel that she's becoming nida. Then she needs the flow of blood. But without that, it wouldn't be nida. That's midoraita. Bizmana zeh, any flow, that's bizmana, is what we consider nida doraita. Nida derabanan is any flow, even without argasha, even shalo bizmana. And we're going to get into how to define, and maybe not in this time, but we're going to get into how to define bizmana, but there's certain times a month where it doesn't matter, that even if she has a slightly irregular cycle, meaning it's not that 1 month it's 3 days and 1 month it's 300 days, and you know, no, it's 1 month it's 30 days, and 1 month it's 32 days, and 1 month it's 28 days, and 1 month it's 34 days, etc. That's already a normal female cycle, which means that starting day 28 or so, or 30, it's considered bizmana. We're expecting that she's going to get the period. So if she has a flow then it's certainly nida d'oraita. If she has a flow earlier, a stain earlier, then we're already talking nida d'rabbanan. Okay? Now, there is a kula of when it's lo bizmana, and that's when it comes to a ketem, a stain. Okay? Stains are call them like a xera. The minute you stain, so we look at the stain, and if it fits certain criterion, we're going to say that she's nida. But there's leniencies when it's only a stain, as opposed to a flow. A flow, finished. End of discussion. But if it's just a stain, there's certain leniencies we have. Number one, what are the leniencies? Number one, there's something called tliya. When it's just a stain, we're willing to consider that if there was something else that might have caused the bleeding, it could be that. So if the stain... right. So when it comes to that, though, that kula of tliya, we also don't do for the first 3 days of Shiva Nikiya. We're going to get to the whole cycle of how it works, 5 days and the 7 days, but there's 7 days called the Shiva Nikiya. So this heter, or this kula for a ketem, for a stain, is only in not those first 3 days of Shiva Nikiyam, only the last 4 days of Shiva Nikiyam. Now, when I say tliya, that means we're unsure the source of the blood, and therefore we're going to say, oh, yesterday she was dealing with lots of bloody things, and it's probably from that. Or she had a cut on her inner thigh yesterday, and it's probably from that. Etc. When I say tliya, that means we're tola on that. That does not mean when it's vadai. If you see yourself bleeding from your inner thigh, meaning a woman sees herself bleeding from the inner thigh, so we know it's from that. That's not tliya. That's pasha. That's vadai. It's not nida blood unless it comes from the cervix, from the vaginal canal. It's not nida. So there's no discussion. It's only tliya when we're unsure if it was because she had a wound in that part of her body, like maybe from checking herself or inserting something in there, a tampon or whatever, she gave herself a cut. So then we're going to say if it's only a stain, we're going to assume it came from the cut. But if you see a cut that's not nida blood bleeding, there's no discussion. It's totally, totally okay. Okay. So in order to be nida, it must be uterine bleeding, not a vaginal wound. Okay? That's number one. The second kula of nida, of a ketem, is something called a gris. In order to get tame by staining, it has to have a certain size. And what size is that? So it was a smushed bog, the way the Gemara described it. Bizman hazeh, we view it as either the size of a penny or 5 agarot. And here I'm showing you one. They're the exact same size. Okay, I didn't believe it myself. I taped one back to back. A penny or 5 agarot. Okay? If you have a tiny little stain, then you're not tame. The stain has to be this size in order to get tame from a stain. So that's a leniency specifically for a ketem. Again, not for a flow. Okay, next. We're still in Greece, though. We're still in that size. It's not mitzdarif. So if you have 2 tiny little ones, or 10 tiny little ones, it doesn't combine to be the size of the penny and the ten agorot. Even if in reality it combines, halachically they're viewed as separate, and it doesn't make you tummy. There's a discussion in the postgame. Let's say there's three near each other, and then three that are red, let's say, and they're connected by like a yellowish or some other color. So they're not actually a big enough, but they're connected by some other color. So then you're supposed to ask a chacham to look at it, because it could be that something's combined there. But distinct stains were not mitzarif, even if they're on her body. Okay? That was heter number two. Number three, tzivonim. Okay? When it comes to ketamim, a ketam is only mitame if it's on a white beged. So therefore, we now are noheg that the woman should wear white underwear only for the Shiva Nakiyah. For the 5 days of Nida, don't bother wearing white underwear. First of all, just pointless. But certainly the whole month when she's Tahor, she should not wear white underwear. No white underwear. Save yourself the headache. It shouldn't have white at all. Not polka dots or stripes or patterns. Solid, colored, darker underwear. Okay? Off-white, where it's clearly off-white, where it's really like a yellow, a beige, is okay. I mean, we're not saying no light underwear. We're saying no white underwear. Okay? So too for your bed sheets. You should not have white bed sheets. The Gemara talks about what the woman during the Shemitah Kiyum had white bed sheets. But the poskim say that was because they weren't sleeping with underwear. So now we sleep with or whatever underwear they had. There was an elastic, I don't know. So now women wear, men too, I guess, but wear underwear with elastic close enough that if she were to bleed, it's not going to somehow be on the bed and not on her underwear. Clearly, if she's bleeding, she's going to see it on her underwear too. So the fact is, it's Shiva Nakiyum. She's wearing white underwear. She doesn't need white sheets too. So colored sheets all the time, 365 days a year. Okay? Now the problem, you might have to just realize this, just you're going to go to a hotel at some point, I don't know, they like putting out white sheets. Just be aware of this. That, I don't know what the solution is. Bring along a towel or something, or your own sheets, or whatever. Just you are the Puranas. It's not a problem to be there on white sheets. It's just asking for trouble sometimes, depending on the time of month.
Okay? A lot of magic markers now.
Lodge magic markers and stain their sheets, exactly, in a different way. We're going to discuss, but Maisa, it also makes sense that you have colored toilet paper. When you go to the supermarket, you're choosing out the toilet paper, choose the pink one, the yellow one, or the psychedelic one that I've seen. Okay, it's lots of fun. Don't get the white. And beware that even the pink or orange ones on one side might be white. She wipes, she should be using the color. In addition, she should be trained. She should work on herself for many, many years to not look at the toilet paper. She has no chiyuv to look at the toilet paper. We're going to discuss, there's times she's supposed to check herself. She has to do bedikas. She's going to have to insert something in her to see if she's bleeding. There are times a chazal where it goes there that she has to do this. When it's not those times, don't make trouble. Okay? So don't look at the toilet paper. Just asking for trouble. Next. If she looked, and it's low bismana, so it's not the time of month when we're expecting her to have a flow, so if the toilet paper penetrated her the way she wiped, she did a real, real good wipe, so then we consider that halachically like a bedika. Now, bedika, for all intents and purposes, when we say that she's going to check herself and she's going to insert something, we consider a bedika that gets dirty from being inside as though she had a flow. Halachically, it's the same. If she sticks something inside herself and it's bloody, it's as though she's bleeding. It doesn't matter. Correct. If she looked, and it wasn't a wipe that penetrated her. It was only a superficial wipe, only on the surface. So then there's a machloket. What's the issue? Remember, we said in order to have nida doraita, there's the need was to have our gasha. She has to feel it. So we were choshesh that she might have had a hargasha, but she didn't feel it because she was urinating. The urinating hides the hargasha. So, what are the solutions for this? So if it was just if it was just an external wipe, and she did not urinate, then it's no problem. But Nigros Moshe Feinstein has a kula in which he says this is only an issue miyadachar hashata, only right after she urinates, and he doesn't define miyad. So in other words, just wait a few seconds to wipe. B'di'evit, 2 to 3 seconds, so she didn't just finish and wipe right away. Or lichatchila, 8 to 10 seconds. If you wait 10 seconds, that's an accepted kula. So, are we choshesh to this toilet paper or not? So, many rabbanim are mekel on that. Rav Perel here, the Rav of Olam Shvut, is mekel on that. Nigros Moshe is choshesh, but he's the one with this kula about waiting. So even though he's choshesh, he tells you the kula. Okay. The fourth kula when it comes to a ketem, and this also applies to toilet paper, possibly, is that in order to be Mekabel Tumah from a Ketem, it has to be in a Beged that's Mekabel Tumah. So if it's on a Beged that's not Mekabel Tumah, we didn't want the halachic absurdity that she would be Tamei, but the Beged that touched her in order to make her Tamei isn't Tamei. So therefore, when this Gzer of Ketamim is only on a Beged that's Mekabel Tumah. So what is this talking about? Like some synthetics, mesh or plastic-ish clothing or other materials, so then it's not the ketem doesn't make her tummy. So now again, is toilet paper Mekabel Tumah? So Igros Moshe says toilet paper is not Mekabel Tumah. Rav Shlomo Levi, the Rosh Kollel here, says it definitely is Mekabel Tumah. Shalo Safik, he's sure of it. Rav Willig, the Rosh Yeshiva in YU, is Choshesh. So again, why enter the Safik? We have the solution for toilet paper was colored toilet paper, not looking at the toilet paper, waiting before wiping. Okay? Shalom HaYisrael if you follow those three guidelines. Now, those last three kulot, which were the gris, the colored begadim, and not makabel, and a beged that's not makabel tumah, are all when it's a stain. When it's a glob, we don't have those kulot. You see something physically sitting there that hasn't settled into the beged and it's three-dimensional, it's a different story. It might be more than a gris. The color might not be affected. Right? Part of the kula of it being a colored beged is you can't tell what color this is, so maybe it's not really need the blood. Well, if it's on top of it, if it's not absorbed into the beged, that kula doesn't apply. If it's if the beged's not makabel tumah, so therefore how could she get tummy from this beged that's not makabel tumah? Well, she's not getting tummy from the beged, she's getting tummy from the glob that's on top of the beged. So again, none of those apply when it's a glob. Okay, let's say we know this kula now about a ketem on a colored beged. Let's say you have a colored beged and you're looking at it and there's a huge stain. It's a big, huge stain on a colored beged. So me'ikar adin, that's tahor. As we said, you can't really tell the color on a colored beged, and therefore, since this is the gzera was that on a colored beged you're not tahor. But logic would tell you, and this is a phrase that we're going to use a few times, ro'oy v'nachon livdo. In general, we tell you, don't do extra bedikah. But here we're going to tell you it's proper to do a check. Now, when I say it's proper to do a check, that depends on the couple's approach to halacha, on their marital situation, on lots of factors. In general, I would recommend following the Zohar and Nachum Livnuk. If you tell me that the marriage is on the rocks, or somebody's going out of town, speak to a Rav, there's room. Because Meikar did, it's okay. But in general, the approach to halacha, we're talking about Nida. You know, Nida is an Isser Daraita, so we are... We recommend Rav and Nachum Livnuk. Why? Because this ketem is large, we say yesh dvarim bego. Something is going on inside there. Bego is Aramaic for inside. So, if there's a gynecologist appointment and they can look at it and tell you no, or there was a gynecologist who did something already, and now there's tlia, we could say, oh, why is she bleeding so much? Because the lady nicked her, but not in that spot, and it's okay. So again, there's room here to be lenient based on all those factors. But go to a rav first, because he may decide, Roy Vinachon Livdok, anyway. What is your status until she does a bedika at that point? So we recommend only non-romantic chibuk v'nishuk allowed. Meaning you can touch, you can hold hands, a light hug or kiss, you know, appropriately maybe. But don't do anything that's going to lead to more, because you're in this limbo status that's inappropriate to be doing more. Don't just assume based on a ketem or anything that that it's a problem. Go to a Rav. The Rabbanim have Masora over which ketem is Metame, which isn't, and they are way more makel than laymen who don't have this Masora just seeing a color and assuming it's coming. Especially for a ketem or a bedika, you should go. Before doing a bedika, now we're talking about bedikas, a woman is supposed to check the cloth to see that it's white. Sometimes, and I've seen it, because I did shimush for looking at ketamim, so I can know, well, have a mesorah which color is ketamim, I've seen ketam cloths that have red threads. And that's a problem. Because if you don't know about it beforehand, and there's red, and you don't realize, it may look like the wrong color red, and you may decide that the person is tummy, and really it was just a thread in the cloth, and the person isn't. So it's very important before she inserts it, that she checks that it's white. I don't know why there's red threads in the whole manufacturing process of making white batika cloths. That's a different discussion. If you have a cloth that you think might have a thread, Rav Shlomo Levi, I've been told by the other Rabbanim in this community, Rav Shlomo Levi, they've looked at the same cloth together, while the other Rabbanim wanted to, the Machmir Rav Shlomo Levi looked at it and decided it was a thread. So he's the thread expert. He isn't necessarily the most makel when it comes to the colors of the dikos, but when it comes to deciding when something's a thread, I've been told that to go to him. By the other poskim in this community, they said when they have those, they send the person there, rather than poskiming that it's bad. Okay. If the color is yellow or clear, it's tahor, you don't need to go to a rav. She should look at the bedika also, even when it's bad and you're going to bring it to her, even when it's bad or and you can bring it to a rav, because the woman is namenis. We trust her to say she's tahor. She says it's clean, it's clean. But there's going to be problematic ones. It's going to have certain colors, and you're going to bring it to the rabbi. So the first few months, you're going to bringing all sorts of colors. She's going to start to know her body better. She hasn't been paying attention to these things all her life because she had no need to. She's going to start to know. And she's going to know that when it comes to day five, day six, she tends to see certain shades, certain colors. And she's going to give you that bedikah, and you can bring it to the rabbi. She can know that I saw this color 3 straight months, and the rabbi said that this shade, this color that I'm looking at exactly, is tahor. And then she doesn't have to send that color anymore. it's a color that she doesn't know or doesn't have specific based on previous months, then she has to. Then you still have to send it. But if she knows, I know that exact shade of brown was okay the last three times, and I look at it and it's really the exact same shade that I remember and I'm sure of it, if she's in that minute, you don't have to bring it anymore. But if it's not, if she doesn't have such a sock based on a chazaka of getting a heter based on a certain color, then you have to bring it. So let's say she has no hargashot and she feels something. So you're supposed to do a check. She feels something that she thinks might be hargashot. So she should do a bedika. If she does the bedika and there's nothing, you're tahor. If three times this happens, she feels something that she thinks might be chida starting, and it's nothing, and she does a bedika and nothing happens, in the future she can ignore that feeling. Okay? So we're choshesh to our hargasha to that extent. Because there are poskim who think that women don't have hargasha anymore, Bismana said. I said, whatever the Gemara was talking about, women having neither with hargasha, we don't have that anymore. So we're choshesh to it still, because it's alright though. But if she feels, so she feels something, she should do a bedika. But if three times a specific feeling happens and she doesn't have neither from it, she can ignore that feeling again in the future. What is considered something? An unusual tremor. She feels the cervix opening. She feels a what we call a zivat davar lach, some kind of internal drip there. And Rav Emden used to say a strange vaginal sensation. It might be the way he explains it with davar lach or hargasha. We have a cloud. Ein p'tichat kever b'lo dam. The cervix can't open without any blood. So when she goes to a doctor, gynecologist, or any checkup, you have to check whether it's going to, whatever is happening is going to be opening the cervix. How much we're concerned about, we're talking about 3/4 inch diameter. If it opens 3/4 inch diameter, so then we say there was definitely some blood, and even if she doesn't see it, we're conscious to it. If it's less than that, sometimes they have like this tiny little thing they're sticking in, not an issue. Also, she shouldn't look at the doctor's glove. The doctor had the glove inside her. Again, that's it. We have the times we need to do bedikas. We don't do extras. So again, check if whatever procedure is being done will cause bleeding. Speak to a Rav if there's questions. Machon Pua is an excellent resource for these. The four kulas for ketem are only lo bizmana. Four kulas again were tzlia, gris, tseva, and in makabal tuma. What about bizmana? Let's say there's a ketem and it's bizmana. Still, it's technically good. But your seichel tells you again, yesh dvar b'ko. It's the time of the month when we expect her to get her period. And she has a ketem. Istama, something's going on. So again, ro'oi v'nachon to do a bedika. So if it comes out clean, she's mutter. But if it's not clean, then she's tame from that day, from that moment. In special cases, again, we might say, since it's only ro'oi v'nachon, make her a din, it'll be okay. So know that option exists for shas and chak, but in general, she has a ketem, and it's bizmana, ro'oi v'nachon, do a bedika, because we say, yesh dvarim b'go. And with that, we conclude ketamim. Next time, we'll do vestor.